So here we are, InsurTech Insights Europe. We're here in Innovation Village, which is the latest brainchild of Michael Lewis, Claim Technology. Michael, pleasure to have you on the podcast again. Thank you for collaborating with us again.
Well, Alex, thank you very much for inviting me to participate on this episode.
No, great. So talk to us. Last year we were doing Claims Village, we were doing Innovation Village. So there's a nuance there. What's the kind of broader sort of offering this time?
Yeah, there is. We have a very vibrant tech partner ecosystem of around 70 to 80 insurtechs. Last year, our focus was curating a set of partners that were focused on AI and automation in the claim space. But over the last year, I think we've seen ourselves work increasingly with technology capability providers that are working beyond simply claims and helping to solve problems across the insurance value chain, from policy to claims. So it felt appropriate today to create an innovation village to highlight some of the innovation that's being done from customer engagement through to payments.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think we've been looking at, we can be very single point in the way that we look at problems in the insurance industry. So we can talk about claims and we have to have very specifically, this helps your, first notification of loss process. Yes. Whereas it's much bigger than that. So. Yes. Talk me through what have we got here? Not necessarily an individual basis, but we've got. I've already spoken to the guys at Paperbox. Yep. They're doing some email, clever things, triaging, reading it through. But what else have we got here?
So I think you've got a real microcosm of InsurTech inside the Innovation Village. It's everything from customer engagement, for example, with YourPass. What we're seeing in the market is there's a real challenge, I think, in insurance that many policyholders don't know who they're insured by.
Yeah.
So the idea of being able to push a pass to a customer's mobile wallet app means that you're very much front of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Claim technology is enriching your passes, wallet passes, by being able to turn them into mini apps and to add self-serve links on the back. And to integrate with your back office systems. We have further sort of automation opportunities with Sprout AI, who are helping to process documents, extract data, compare that data to policy and coverage information, and make a decision on whether the claim can be covered, and if so, what's covered, and how much, as part of a real-time resolution process. WEX are on the payment side, so it's then that ability to transition into making a virtual payment to either an individual or to a supplier. And then we're also sort of working with in the Innovation Village with Mind Foundry, whose AI platform is helping companies build, deploy, and manage AI models. So over the last year, companies, whether it's across risk or pricing, fraud or claims, they're building more and more AI models, which creates the need to then sort of think, how am I managing those models? How fit for purpose are those models? And can I explain what those models are doing? So overall, I think we've got a really good microcosm of the InsurTech industry here today.
It's amazing. But I always I'm fascinated by your approach to business, because it's very much about, we help our partners do well, we're going to do well. Obviously, that's part of the thinking, but what drives you to kind of do these collaborative efforts? Because it says something very positive about claims technology as a business, I think.
Yeah, well thank you. That's very kind, Alex. I suppose I'm going to reflect a little bit on, we call it an innovation village, which, considering that we're sort of always at the sharp end of tech,
yes,
sounds a bit sort of traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an African proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And I sort of also feel that a little about insurance. It takes a vibrant insurtech village to be able to raise insurance as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we, generally I think people think too much in terms of competition.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in this idea of collaboration, and there's much more to gain from collaborating with those that you might even see as competitors,
yeah,
for the greater good.
Yeah.
And so it's by coming together that I think we start to release not just our potential, but everyone's potential. And through lifting all boats, we lift the industry, and ultimately we then change insurance for the better.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. And I think events like this are important parts of that. You know, you can come together and talk about new ideas in insurance, whether it be net new risks or whether it be technologies. And I think sometimes seeing it all together, you can start to build a better picture of what the future might look like.
Yeah.
Claims is still probably slightly unloved, but I feel like it's been coming to the fore in the last 18 months, 2 years.
Yes, it has.
From an investment point of view, from an interest point of view. You've obviously got this partner ecosystem. Where has there been a sort of growth in partner offerings? Is it AI-driven tools, or are there any themes that you could kind of pick up?
Yeah, I think there's a very, very strong theme this year with regards to improving customer engagement and using wallet passes to do that. To be much more front of mind and to help self-serve. What we're also seeing, and I think what will be interesting, is we're hosting an Innovation Village workshop this afternoon where we've chosen a pet insurance theme because we see a lot of change happening in the pet space. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing in the workshop is showing just how easy it is to glue together some of the different technology vendors that you're seeing in the village to be able to reimagine what a pet insurance claim might look like. Mm-hmm. From customer being at the vet, trying to think, am I covered for something, to being able to confirm coverage and send them a real-time payment.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, pets exploded, hasn't it? And both because of the need of having pets, and everyone got a pet in COVID and lockdown. Yeah. So, but seeing the different offerings, one of those things I've looked at is thematically. When you see that, you go, "Where's the differentiation?" And it's going to come in things like the claims process and how easy that's going to be.
Yeah.
And then the your first thing I thought was fascinating because I put a slightly angry post on the internet quite recently. I couldn't find out who my insurer was. Then found out who it was. Then they raised my quote, so I went to a comparison site, and then the cheapest quote was the same insurer, but I had to get a new policy, and now they keep sending me angry letters going, can you prove your no claims discount?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can, but I've got to phone another member of the team. And it just shows you how these simple things are still not solved.
Yeah.
So the idea that you have a wallet where you can find someone, or just that the claims process is still not perfect, shows you how much you've got to go, I think.
Yeah, it does. And you know, we talk about how claim technology helps insurers reimagine what the claims could look, what a claim could look like. So if you take pet insurance, if your pet is sick and you go to the vet, you're under extreme stress. And the way that the pet insurance market, I think, has addressed insurance is that you first sort out your pet, you settle the bill with your vet, and then you submit an expense and we may reimburse you. The problem with that is when you're at the vet and you're trying to make a life and death decision about your loved pet, and you don't know whether you're covered, and if you are, how much you're covered, may well mean the difference between, you know, life and death for your pet. Yeah. So if you can create a solution, which we're showing you in a workshop you can do in a couple of hours, where you can push a pass to somebody's phone, they can click on a self-serve link on the back of the pass, they can immediately upload a document from the vet with the proposed treatment, you get a real-time decision on what you are and what you aren't covered for, and the ability to push a payment, all in real time. That gives you the confidence to say, I can make an informed decision, the right decision for my pet. And that's what I think is really exciting about the ability to, and shows how we as an automation provider in the claim space are helping to glue together lots of different vendors to make that experience a reality.
And what I like about that, and I think what's important about one, what you're doing here, but certainly what claim technology does as a business, is that you allow almost, might sound a bit of an indulgent word, but that you allow some creativity in that. So rather than looking at the claims process and saying, right, what does technology allow us to do? It says, what is our ideal customer journey from a claims perspective?
Yeah.
And then we bring in the right technology providers to deliver that, rather than starting at, oh, this is what that technology does.
And that's absolutely right, Alex. And that's the key difference between developing automation inside your legacy systems as opposed to being able to do this in the cloud. So we were born in the cloud, and we're saying that you can reimagine the claims experience only in the cloud. You can't create the experience that's in your mind's eye by trying to plug more things into a legacy stack.
Yeah, no, very true. Michael, I know we could do this all day, but we're gonna have to go and meet some of your guests as well. So we're going to get around and see them. But thank
Enjoy
you so
conference.
Much.
Thank you very much, Alex.
We're here at Innovation Village. I'm very lucky today to be joined by Martin, who's COO, co-founder of Paperbox. Martin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
you're the first victim slash person that we're meeting today. So look, we're here at Digital Tech Insights in Europe. But just so everyone listening knows who Paperbox are, who are Paperbox?
So we are a Belgian company. We started the company 2 years ago, and we are an insurtech. So what we are offering to the market is we have a mailroom solution. So basically working for like policy admin, claims, but also underwriting teams of carriers, MGAs, or brokers. And we really support them in their influx or inflow of high-velocity emails and documents. So basically, we see or we have spotted the trend 3 years ago that insurance companies are receiving lots of emails and lots of requests via unstructured documentation. And we try with our Gen AI tool, so it's based on Gen AI, we try to make it a bit more structured.
Okay.
And enable mainly the insurance teams to work more on priorities instead of the last email received. So that's basically the concept we are working on.
And that strikes me as, I think the first wave of insurtechs were trying to like change people's behaviours, but this sounds like you're like going, look, we know this is a thing that happens, and we're just trying to give you tools to work within the existing structure, right?
That's correct. So we are a bit like, not a real innovator, not like a disruptor, we are more like supporting the current SS business. So we always say internally and to our clients, we accept, we call it the legacy, we accept the SS standard.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to go to more digital platforms, APIs, etc. We really underwrite it, or we really support it, but we more accept that for the time being, and this will be for 20 years to come, that still emails, postal documents are still will be used. So that's indeed 100% correct, Alex.
Yeah, if it's anything like my inbox, is that, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Email is still like the primary way that we communicate. And you know, we're an executive search firm, we've got lots of other methods, and we have some clients on Slack, we have some clients on other tools, but email is still the primary thing. So how does it work with, is it agnostic in terms of kind of like mail servers, and are you able to integrate with some of the other platforms that they might use for policy admin, etc.?
Well, 100%. So we are indeed, we have an out-of-the-box connector system, and so we are connecting with most email clients, scanning devices, scanning suppliers on the one hand, and on the other hand, we do connect with more like the, call it CRM, document management, core insurance platforms like Salesforce. We have an implementation where we also work with Guidewire, the typical ones. And so we do support these type of companies and really enable a tool like Guidewire or Salesforce to have all their emails and documents like very structured, structured and tasks, structured and activities. So indeed, so that's on how we're working. And today we're also looking towards more UK special BMS systems to integrate with, to also support more like the broker landscape.
Where would you get the most demand from within these insurance organizations? Because as you say, it could be underwriting, this could be claims. Where's the most demand? Because it must be quite challenging. Who do you sell to within that organization?
Typically, we start today with claims teams.
Yes.
So claims, and typically in the non-life business, we see they have the highest volumes of emails and documents. So that's typically an entry point. That's typically the entry point where we look for in sales, but also where the customer is looking for us.
Yeah.
So that's the starting point, and then we try to upsell and going up the value chain, and also go to live business or to more like the policy admin business. Because claims is really like entry point, because they feel the biggest pain we think.
Yeah, well, anyone who listens to podcasts, I used to work in claims, so it's my passion project, but I'm very much about giving people tools to kind of do the job better so they can concentrate on that higher value task, and that's the big theme. So tell me more about where you are to date. So you're coming here in the UK, Belgian-based company. Are you sort of bigger in Europe at the moment and more European clients, and then looking for more UK?
Exactly, so we are 3 years in business, so we have now a decent market share in Belgium. I think we, from our core focus group, customers, we have, I think, market share of 30% already. So we did a quite good job in 3 years in Belgium. So the pain is there, the solution is there.
Yeah.
And we are now going on international expansion. So we do have starting business in the Netherlands, now also in the UK. So focus is Europe. But as a starting point for this year and next year, we will really try to work on the UK market and on the Netherlands market. So that's on how our plans are. So European focus. And we're really looking forward to work more in the UK and be here on these type of conference more and more.
Well, awesome. And well, look, before I let you go, why get involved in Innovation Village? Like, it's a really unusual concept. And just to explain to people listening, you've got lots of kind of innovation, but a lot of it's tied to claims. So run by claims technology. But yeah, are you finding it easier? Are people coming in and they're always the right people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's quite a good spot that we have, quite in front of the main stage, I think.
It's
a nice spot, and we're happy to be invited here by Claim Technology. And
amazing.
Great start of the event.
Yeah, Martin, I know. Thank you very much for being the first one up, and I really appreciate your time.
Thanks.
And we are in Innovation Village, and I'm very lucky today to be joined by Wilm, CEO of YourPass. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Amazing. Exciting. The first hour was already like a sprint.
Good. Well, we've got our enthusiasm because it's the morning of day one, so we'll see how we are tomorrow, but we'll get a high energy. Well, look, before we start, let's talk about YourPass. What is YourPass? What do you guys do?
Yeah, YourPass offers digital passes for mobile wallets and smartphones. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's carrying smartphone all around the clock. Mm-hmm. So we use the wallets as a channel to communicate for marketing purposes, giving updates. It's really like a dynamic, real-time info channel.
Yeah, and purely for insurance.
It can be used for business cards, for coupons, vouchers, stamp cards, boarding passes, tourism cards, you name it.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Yeah. So what's the, obviously I'm sitting here like chomping at the bit, I know there's such a big insurance use case, but was insurance always a vertical you were looking at, or is it something that's kind of emerged organically with the business?
Oh, it definitely started there with the insurance business, because their pain point was people do not really like to download an app.
Yep.
Only for an insurance or for a claim. So this was the brilliant idea of our founders to create these digital passes in the existing wallet, Apple Wallet and Google Wallet. So it's easy to add a pass for the insured person, but also to create these passes with our platform for the insurance company.
Yeah.
And this is how we started with insurance companies. Of course, it's a huge amount of contracts, so it was interesting for us and interesting for the insurance companies to solve their pain point.
And when they use YourPass, do insurers want a white-labeled version of it? Do they just encourage people to download YourPass? How does it work from perspective?
Yeah. Usually it comes when you apply for your insurance, you buy it, you pay it, and then the insurance company would offer, here is your digital pocket policy.
Yeah.
So you're invited to download here, just click here, and then you can carry it with you in your wallet, wherever you want, and it's very handy. It's very smart, because all the phone numbers that you might use in case of emergency, we hope never anything is happening, but in case, you can really use the card immediately instead of looking, there was an email, and or maybe I have to Google or something like that. Yeah, this was the thing.
I mean, I'm smiling, and I've sadly been out of video, but as you're saying this, does it surprise you that we're talking in 2024, that this is still a problem? I mean, I was saying, live problem. I'm about to travel. The only reason I found my policy was searching all my emails. I just had to change car insurance. Couldn't find who my car insurer was. Now, I should probably know that, but bear in mind, I'm an insurance guy, and I still don't find this. But how are we still talking about this in 2024?
I mean, this is digitalization in general. So, sometimes it sucks. I'm from Germany.
Yeah.
I like my country, but not in this way, because this is really... But it's catching up, so we see really the last 2 years, unfortunately, after COVID-19, this was the time where people realized, we don't want to touch paper, we want to have updates wherever we are in real time, so this really increased the usage. So, and of course, paying contactless, using the wallets in the way, in the phone, how you can use it, this helped us a lot. So the last 2 years, we can really, it's working a lot. Yeah.
Good. And is it international offering? Are you in your European focus at the moment, or is it?
Completely globally.
Yeah.
We are a supplier, listed supplier for MasterCard. So they issue business cards for their employees digitally with us on the whole planet. We have the Karate Association in Australia, a museum in Chicago. It's really, you can use it everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's Apple, it's Google, so
Of course.
Worldwide.
Of course. And obviously, it's line of bids, it's agnostic, but from the insurer side, where's been the kind of most interest? Is it between personal lines, travel, or just across the board?
Usually it fits to short-term insurances, like a travel insurance, even a car insurance, which is renewed every year. life insurance is maybe not this interesting, also not for the insured person, but these insurances, home insurance, whatever you need in your regular life. So this is, it fits to all kinds of insurances.
And outside of insurance, where's your kind of biggest focus? Obviously, MasterCard you mentioned, so a lot of kind of open banking opportunities as well.
Yes, it's banking, it's tourism is very interesting. Mm. Tourism means like restaurants, but also areas. Like in Singapore, if you arrive at the airport, you get your benefit card, you can download it, and then you save money. So it can be used really like everywhere in all kinds of businesses, industries.
It must be interesting being an international company as well, about where culturally people are on the journey, because who's kind of leading the way, who's like really embraced this? Have there been any surprises globally where you go, here's a country that's really embraced this but we weren't expecting that? Or
again, if I start, unfortunately not Germany,
not Let's Germany start from yeah, there. Yeah. Probably not the UK, but, I would imagine,
but definitely the Central European countries are really, of course Asia, mm-hmm. and now the Arabian countries, Middle East is really catching up. They are very interested. So this is really the biggest surprise for me, that Middle East is really using it so fast.
Yeah, it's the embracing of the technology. But it's fascinating because we're sitting here and it feels like such a simple solution for such an obvious pain point. And it's something that really resonates with me. So I'm really pleased to see you guys here at Innovation Village. And well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for visiting us, and have a great event here.
Thank you. Thank you. So here we are. We're here at Innovation Village, InsurTech Insights Europe 2024. I'm here with Roy Amir, CEO of Sprout AI. How are you, sir? You well?
Yeah, good, Alex. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you. So we bump into each other at all these things quite not always, but like quite regularly. So I'm privileged enough to know the Sprout AI business. In fact, I've got some of your great socks as well. So I might take some more. I like this. But look, before we get into the quality of your socks, let's get into the quality of your claims technology offering. What does Sprout AI do?
Of course. So Sprout AI, we work with carriers, insurers globally, to help them with claims automation. So we built a product that is AI-based, that enables them to understand the claims evidence around the claim that they received, to compare it to the policy coverage, and use their claims adjudication philosophy in order to make a decision or provide a recommendation around the claim. So we are integrating to their existing claim system, and we provide the needed information to claim handler, or sometimes save claim handler time by automatically adjudicating the claims. We work with carriers like MetLife and AXA and Generali, and we help them automate high proportions of their claims. So thousands of claims per day that our system see, 60-70% of these are completely automatically adjudicated.
Wow, yeah. So is it line of business agnostic, or is it specific lines that you focus on?
It's a great question. So we built a platform in a way that is agnostic, so we can configure it to different lines of business, but we've seen a lot of success in health, life, dental, pet, travel. We've done some things in property content, in disability claims, and also in motor bodily injury. So quite broad, where we see a lot of successes where you have high volumes of claims to automate. So this is repeatable, and the claims information is something that we help them extract and understand.
Yeah. Because what surprised me in that list was, I'm not surprised to see some of the kind of like high volume, lower volume claims, but you've also got disability in there, you've got bodily injury. So these can be huge claims. So presumably it works in a different way. So one is more triaging, one is more straight through automation.
You're completely right. So on the high volume, low value, straight through processing is the key. But when you have lower volume or higher complexity, higher value, the key of the technology is to provide the right information to the claim handler to make them much more efficient. So we help them reduce manual effort, increase accuracy, reduce fraud, waste, and abuse, but not necessarily fully automate the claim, because you want claim handler involvement in these processes. You want to make sure that you provide the right service to the policyholder.
Yeah, and you've been around a little while now, so you've obviously got rich data on feedback from clients. Have you got anything on how the sort of claims professionals themselves are enjoying using it? Has it changed their working like setup? Have you had any feedback like that? Maybe it's not quantitative, it might be sort of more qualitative.
Yeah, so we actually done a research, and there is another research that we have done that we'll be releasing in a couple of weeks, so if people want, they can see it on our website. But we focused in the past on what the policyholders say, what the insurers say, but now we actually focus on what the claim handlers say.
Yeah.
And it's not specifically to our technology, but what in general they say are the challenges that they see in order to provide great customer experience. And what we found out is that 55% of them said that the most tedious work that they're doing and time consuming is the analysis of claims evidence, right? So that's the first problem that they have to solve. The other thing that is interesting that we found is that we are always, you know, concerned that AI will replace people, and people would not want to, claim handlers, frontline worker would not want to use it because of they'll be afraid of them taking their job. But actually, what we found out that all of them want to adopt it because they want the technology to take away the tasks that they actually don't want to do. So it's free time for them to actually do the things that they are good at, like providing service to customers, like handling complex cases. So this is the feedback that we're seeing from the research. And again, if people want to see that, they can see it on our website in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I didn't set that question up. I didn't know that you'd done that research. So it's quite good fun. I'm speaking from experience. I used to work in claims. And the reason you enjoy claims is that you want to get into the complex claims. You want to solve problems for people. You want to be dealing with customers. What you don't want to be doing is filling out admin, evaluating evidence that is time-consuming, laborious, and not often very particularly interesting.
And so, also error-prone, right?
Of course.
So the challenge is that people make mistakes, and there are things that machines will do better than people, and there are many things that people do better than machines. And we want to split the work that we give to the capabilities of the people or the automation solution that we have.
And it speaks to that customer journey, because that's, you know, we've said it a few times, and obviously we're in Innovation Village, it's a bit claims focused, so we're all kind of on the same page with this. But, you know, when you are dealing with a claim, it's a point of stress for anyone, whether it be a business claim and it's just monetary, or whether it be pet, or whether it be disability, and giving humans that time to interact with humans to kind of give that voice of concern and giving them that time back is really, really important. And of course, then errors in the claims process exacerbate that as well. So you're solving two ends of that problem. Have you seen a trend or a change in the way that your sort of your insurer customers' confidence has grown? So maybe they took you on as a bit of a human in the loop, and now they've gone towards straight automation. Has that journey happened with a few people?
So many times what we see our customers will do is they say, give us recommendation first, or give us the data first, we'll make the decision. And in the second phase, they said, okay, now we see the quality of the data, help us automate. One of our customers in Japan is now doing this transition from, you know, we extracted all the relevant data for them, and now we say, okay, let's add auto adjudication to the process. And what we see with other customers, some customers, they start directly with auto adjudication or full end-to-end claims decision, is that they expand to other lines of business. So we started with health, we went to life, we went to dental, and they add more and more lines of business and more types of claims that we support for them, which of course show that they see value and confidence in our solutions.
Amazing. Well, pleasure to see you again. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Appreciate your time.
Excellent. Thanks, Alex.
So here we are, it's day two. It's the magic of cutting. We're going to cut this in and out. So we're day one and day two. It's a little bit quieter today. So we're here again at Innovation Village, and we're with the guys from WEX. Abdul, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
So who are you? Who's WEX? Why should we care? What does it mean to the claims process?
So my name is Abdel Badawi. I'm the Business Development Director for Corporate Payments. Who's WEX? What's WEX? We are a B2B payments platform. We started in the US some time back. We are quite an old fintech listed company. We started in the fleet industry and then branched out to all types of payments, health and benefits, including the corporate payments. We're a global leader in the travel market, and we have pioneered the virtual cards. So what we're here for specifically in the claims process is that our platform is global, it's real time, and it brings a lot of value for all parties involved in the payment side. So if you're thinking about digitizing your claim process, you know, at this in this day and age, there are other instruments that are better suited for certain types of claims.
Yeah.
What we're looking at are primarily two use cases. The first one is the P&C space. At the moment, if you are, let's say, in motor specifically, if you're involved in a car accident, for example, your insurer may ask you to go to their preferred supplier, but the other party who it was not their fault in the first place, they are entitled to go wherever they want.
Yeah.
So roughly speaking, a third of those claims are suppliers that the insurers don't know,
right,
or they don't have on their books, or what we call off-panel in the US, we call them off-network. Point being is, a third of the claims, or the suppliers, or the garages, will not release the car until they get paid, or they basically will be paid, but they need to be onboarded as a supplier at the insurer side, and that takes weeks,
okay,
and it's very costly. If you pay with a virtual card, that work of onboarding is done on the acquirer side. That means that you can pay a single payment through a virtual card, and you don't need to onboard the supplier. It's an exact amount, it's locked to a merchant, it's very safe, and then it's very fast, and it's real time. So what we're looking at is, on the first use case, reduce the claim amount, give a much better experience to the person, to the claimant, and then bring value to the insurer, especially specifically on the reconciliation and the speed. And there is one additional part. WEX is the pioneer, and we share back part of the interchange that we get from the scheme, which is MasterCard or Visa or okay, the likes. So that's the first use case. The other one is something that insurers can't deliver at the moment because they all use bank transfer.
Yep.
And I'll use a personal example. I was involved in a minor accident skiing in Switzerland sometime back. And then I called my insurer. They're like, yeah, you're covered. Go to the nearest hospital. I did. And then I had to go out of pocket, then come back, scan the German invoice that didn't have the details, have to go and ask for a new one. Mm-hmm. I get my 7,000 Swiss francs 4 months later.
Yeah.
We can do a lot better than that. These days, we are all use the Apple, Google Pay, the wallet. What WEX can do is push a virtual card for the amount. So you say, I'm involved in, roadside assistance, breakdown, your car got towed, and you're allowed $1,000 to rent a car or £1,000. And then you start the claim on the app. You can use $1,000. We push a card into the wallet and then use that to pay for that service. You don't go out of pocket. It's instantaneously available. And then it will save as well the insurance because they don't need to give out money or, yep, the experience wise is great. And then the information that we can deliver after that is very good. And then the money couldn't be spent outside of the approved kind of type of spend that the insurance has covered for.
Brilliant. Because I have shared experiences of that, paying claims and waiting for the money, and I think everyone does. It's like, and it's never something that's been solved well. So just on practical terms, it's a virtual card, goes into one of your wallets on your phone, it could be, and then from a, I'm interested to see kind of, presumably it's white label, that's where the insurance uses it. Yep.
So we're a payment provider, we have licenses to issue globally, it's our own licenses, but if I want to put plain technology and in perspective the cloud first, we are cloud native, we are API first, we can make it, super seamless, and we have the technology for it, compared to traditional, vendors or usually insurers lean on their treasury banks.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Germany, none of the treasury banks has a virtual card offering.
Yeah.
Similarly, they are all based on legacy account-based architectures,
yeah,
which means they cannot do real-time. Mm-hmm. We do real-time, we're API first. If I want to do it more in perspective, if we don't get the auth and the whole cycle done in 2 seconds, we consider it void.
Yeah.
In the last quarter, we didn't have a single one void, and we pushed billions of euros in Europe on those type of payments. Yeah.
This is what I love about Innovation Village. We're here, and I've talked to your pass, and I can go find my kind of insurance documents. I can have Sprout AI look at my claim and automatically agree it, and then you guys are automatically issuing me some virtual money, and I don't have to speak to any insurance person whatsoever, and actually they don't have to speak to me. So you could have a straight through claims process from notification straight to payment.
Yeah.
Right?
So you have it like a truly fully digitized, not like it's not stopping in any place. It's just fully on the cloud, starting from claims. So let's say we're using every partner here at Claim Tech, and then you're using AI. You're doing like photo. Taking the an accident. Taking the photos, AI is verifying that it's not, deep fake. Claim gets approved, and then you go to the garage, and the payment gets there as well on a virtual card.
Mm-hmm.
There is no account payables involved, approvals, paper trail. Mm-hmm. It's all fully digital. So really being able to deliver this fully digital experience is what we're here for. And that's where, you know, the beauty of technology that we can partner. So we do our bit very well.
Yep.
Someone else will do theirs very well. And then you can deliver that ultimate experience to the claimant or the customer.
I love that. I was about to say it sounds like the future, but it sounds like the future is already here. So, Abdul, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Cheers.
Thank you.